Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We'll get back to your giant calls and hear from Aaron Glenn in a few short minutes. But last night, the LA Dodgers went up 2-0 in the NLCS because they got something, which is so rare, a complete game in the postseason. Yoshinobu Yamamoto pitched a complete game after allowing a leadoff home run to Jackson Chourio. He gave up nothing after that, and the Dodgers won 5-1 to go up 2-0.
Wow.
Do you guys know when the last complete game was pitched in a postseason game?
Last complete game?
Complete game by
in a postseason?
In a postseason game. So last night, Yamamoto does it.
Well, CeCe did it, didn't he?
CeCe did do it. That is not the last time, though. But you are correct. He actually did it in a game five, in a winner-take-all game five against the Orioles. Good call by you on that.
I'm trying to think.
He may have done others. That's just the one that jumps out at me.
It couldn't have been recently, could it have?
Could it have been recently?
Everybody is... pulled so early, especially in postseason. I don't know.
Do you want me to give you hints?
Yes.
Or are you ready to just give me a guess?
I'll guess.
Oh, you have an actual guess?
I do have an actual guess.
Let's hear it.
Mine was right. Which is not the one you're thinking of.
Tiki is right in that it was a complete game. CeCe Sabathia in the ALDS Game 5 2012.
Right.
But there was one more recent than that.
I'm going to assume one of these Astros complete game the Yankees.
Wow. Do you know the answer?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you.
It's not a real game if you already knew the answer.
I don't know the answer.
Okay.
I think my guess is wrong because I'm going to assume it happened after. But did Dallas Keuchel complete game them in the wild card game?
I honestly don't remember if Keuchel did that, but it was not that.
Okay.
There was one more recent. I'd have to look back if Keuchel
I believe he did, but that was obviously 2015. I know the year in which it happened. Is that enough here?
Or go ahead. Give me the year.
It was 8 years ago.
It was 8 years ago, 2017.
Right? Is 8 years ago.
2017 is correct. Well, you guys could piece this together now because you're on the same page.
2017, you said Astros.
Is it Charlie Morton?
No, it is Justin Verlander in game two of the American League Championship Series against the Yankees. And it was a weird complete game. Hmm. And by weird, here's what I mean by that.
I don't remember that at all.
Justin Verlander. Mm.
The Astros walked off the Yankees. So you didn't get the typical... what Yamamoto was able to do last night, which is you get to like strut off the mound like, hey, I won. Verlander completed nine, and then the Astros walked off the Yankees, walked off Aroldis Chapman. Carlos Correa hit a game-winning double. And so it was a complete game, but you kind of forgot about it because it was about the walk-off. That's the last time there was a complete game in the playoffs.
Wow.
8 years ago.
But that's just the nature of baseball with the pitching now.
Yeah.
But it is amazing how the Dodgers... I said this to you last night. They feel inevitable because they're not hitting like they were last
Shohei
year.
Shohei Ohtani's in a massive slump.
Oh, he's terrible.
I know.
Yet he's pitching.
Yes,
and six of the eight starts have been Blake Snell and Yamamoto.
Yeah.
And they just dominate.
What's remarkable about the Dodgers, who it does feel they are inevitable, and they would be back-to-back World Series champions if they do complete this, something we haven't seen since the Yankee dynasty, is that the Dodgers are doing it completely differently than last year.
Right.
Last year, they're throwing bullpen games. This year, it's dominant starting pitching, a lot of it from guys who barely pitched this year. Now, Yamamoto had a great year, Cy Young caliber year. He won't win, but he'll get votes. He'll finish in the top three. Blake Snell missed a chunk of time. Tyler Glasnow missed a chunk of time. Shohei Ohtani wasn't pitching for most of the year. So it is remarkable, to your point, Teague, that they're doing it with starting pitching, which they didn't do last year, and they're doing it with starting pitching, who wasn't exactly a big part of their regular season.
Right. This is the fallacy of flipping the light switch. Because everybody says, yeah, we'll get there. We get to the second season. We'll just turn it on. We'll turn it up. All of a sudden, you can't. And you end up fading. This is literally what the Dodgers are doing.
But you know what I think a lot of it is? A lot of it is the luck of guys are healthy at the right time.
100% it is. But still, Blake Snell didn't feel like he was going to be Blake Snell this season at all.
He missed so much time.
He missed so much time. Yeah, 11 starts we talked about yesterday. I don't even know what he did in those 11 starts.
He was good. Like, all these guys were good. They just barely pitched.
Yes. And now he gets to the postseason and he throws 8 scoreless.
Mm.
And now Yamamoto is the same. But Shohei Ohtani misses an entire season because of Tommy John. He comes back and he's Ohtani again.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They have it. And it's frustrating because it doesn't matter how you think you can beat them, they're going to find a way to beat you.
Yeah, I think with the Dodgers, and I remember when we had our arguments last offseason about them, was if you're going to get them, you got to get them early. You got to get them in that wild card round. You got to get them in the divisional round. I'll never forget last year, the Padres had a 2-1 lead. They had them, and they left them off the hook.
Right.
This year, not that anybody really had them, but that first round series was always dangerous. They ran into the Reds, who suck. And if they ran into the Mets, the same thing may have happened. I don't know. But that best of three is that area where the good teams can lose.
Yep.
But when you get to a best of seven, usually, not always, but usually the better team has a better chance of prevailing. And right now, the Dodgers are the best team. Will they win the World Series? It's still possible that the Mariners could knock them off. But unfortunately, right now, we're headed towards a very big, boring LCS because both road teams are up 2-0. Mm. And in the history of best of sevens, it is very, very rare for a team to come back. Two of them in our history, the 96 Yankees against the Braves, the 86 Mets against the Red Sox. But usually when you lose those first two games at home, you're cooked. Mm. Now let's get to Aaron Glenn. A couple of things from his press conference today. Number one, let's start with Breece Hall. Breece Hall has that Instagram post the other day. Well, he wasn't asked directly about Breece and his Instagram post. He was asked about, hey, you guys are 0-6. There are a lot of rumors about you guys trading Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. You said before the season, Coach, you don't want to trade Breece Hall. Has anything changed, Coach?
They're rumors. Still feel the same way.
They're rumors, and I feel the same way. And then he abruptly ended the press conference.
And that was it.
That was it. That was his only mention of it. So I get nothing out of this other than he's not going to talk about it. But he also left open the possibility that Garrett Wilson could play on Sunday, even though there are reports that he's going to miss multiple weeks. So Aaron Glenn's new best friend, Brian Costello, decided to pepper him with questions about, wow, is Garrett Wilson really going to play on Sunday?
We'll see how he's progressing during the week.
So that means he's going to stop?
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
The MRI didn't show anything.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
Aaron Glenn hates Brian Costello.
Yeah, he does.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
Right, because he got heat for how we responded to him. That's why.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
Now he doesn't want to respond to him.
Yeah, but, Coach, look, this isn't the make or break for you. What's making or breaking is the football team, clearly.
Yeah.
I don't think this stuff helps. Just answer the freaking question.
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
To repeat the same thing 5 times in a row is like, I don't know.
It just shows you're annoyed. But, and the last thing you want is for somebody who is outside of the organization to annoy you.
But okay, can
I let it annoy you? Let it annoy you. I don't know. Be civil.
Just be. And here's the thing that really boggles my mind. And I'm not saying this because I like Brian Costello, because I've called Brian out before. He'll tell you. We've had our fights. He's literally doing nothing wrong. Like, I know, Sean, there are giant reporters that you think are rabble rousers and they're real jerks.
Yeah, I mean, at their jobs, not as people.
Well,
just
say their names. Who are the guys you hate? Pat Leonard, you don't like him.
I like Pat Leonard the person. I don't like Pat Leonard the reporter.
Oh, stop being sensitive. Who are the reporters that you can't stand?
He doesn't like Jordan Renan. Personally, and
Daryl Slater's another guy.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, Stiff.
You can't stand these guys, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you think they're starting stuff. And if that's the case, fine.
Yeah.
Brian Costello literally asked the coach, did you consider benching a quarterback who sucked?
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
And then today he's just like, so you're saying Garrett Wilson may play?
We'll see how he progresses during the week.
He didn't like try to get him on anything.
Yeah, but I get why you wouldn't want to give that away. Because it's just a competitive advantage. If now they don't think you're playing against Garrett Wilson, then he plays. It's manipulation of injury news.
No, you can do that, and I think you should do that. Yeah, I'm not even disagreeing with it. It's more just when you start repeating the same thing, you're pissed off at the guy. Mm. You're showing it. And really, you got nothing to be pissed off at Costello
about. Oh, I see
what
you're saying. You're just saying because he's not even engaging.
Oh, I know why Glenn's pissed off. Same reason Joe is still pissed off at Costello. I know why. Tell you a secret about Brian Costello.
What did he do?
He voted against Mike Piazza once in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
What?
Yeah. I bet you Glenn hates it.
Why? He, does he even know that?
I bet you it came out recently and Glenn's like, you voted against Piazza? Oh.
When you said Joe and voted against, I thought you were going another avenue. Not Piazza.
I don't know any of that. All right, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Craig is in Harrison. What's up, Craig?
Hello?
What's hello? Up?
Hello. Yeah, I'm calling from Deerfield Beach. And Evan, I just wanted to say that the Jets have been, I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest, but like, they've just been nothing but like a failure my whole life. And did you know that both of us like combined scored more like yards than like they did like at all last weekend?
Yes, unfortunately I do. I thought you were going to say we scored more in high school than they score on a football field. And the answer is that's almost impossible. No offense to Craig. I know my own game. No, it's sad, bro. And you can hear it in his voice. I mean, you can hear it in Craig's mm-hmm. voice. The New York Jets are killing us week by week by week. And so here's my attitude about Sunday. I'm going to the game. And I'm going to the game with an attitude that I'm actually going to bring to the basketball season, which is, you know what? I'm just here to have fun. I'm just here to eat a cheeseburger. I'm just here to smell the smells. I'm just here to have my arm around my son and teach him about the game of football. It's a beautiful sport. Just like basketball is a beautiful sport.
You going to opening night in basketball?
What was that?
Are you going to the opening night in basketball?
Of course, same attitude.
Did the Nets get relegated to the WNBA?
Well, I haven't heard that, Boomer.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how I'm going to treat both. And that's what we as Jet fans have to do. We just have to go in expecting doom, and we're looking for other fun things. So if you're going to MetLife the way I am, it's about the food. It's about the tailgating. It's about, you know, bonding with your kid. Mm. That's what it's about. I thought I was going to lose Jet last night, though.
Why?
Dad, why do all our teams suck?
Oh man, that's worse than the birds and the bees convo.
That is so
And you know
bad.
What I said to him?
How did you respond to this?
I just explained why each team sucks.
Mets
and I
suck.
Said, here's the deal, Jet. I'm never going to force you. Now, you know the way I am. I'm always going to be with our teams. And I think it'll be sweeter when we eventually win.
Mets suck.
But you do what you got to do. And he said, okay. And I said, oh, geez, where's this going? And he's like, no, I'm sticking with him. Mm. I'm just curious. Why do we suck? And then he asked, why do fans of another team, and he meant the Giants, why do they go out of their way to tell us we suck? And I said, because they're jerks. What do you mean? Like, why?
I don't. All Giant fans don't do that.
Are you nine anymore, Tiki?
No, that's true. That's a good point.
And I explained to him, I was like, look, are the Giants better? Yes, they are. They're 2-4. So he said to me, what should I say back to them the next time they say the Jets suck? And I said, you're not going to the playoffs either. Mm. And he's like, okay. So that's his new response to Giant fans.
I think being self-deprecating is the easiest.
It is, but when you're nine.
Hey, the Jets suck, Jet. Yeah, we do.
Just go with that.
And it'd be like, and?
Batique, wouldn't you?
What next?
Batique, wouldn't you agree?
It's like the Eminem rant. Like, tell these people something they don't know about me.
That's true. It's a fair philosophy. But wouldn't you agree that the Giants aren't going to the playoffs?
Right now? No. Yes. So I agree with that.
So isn't that retort a fair one?
Until 2 weeks from now, they beat the Broncos and Eagles.
It is, but it creates a fight.
Not really. Just we're both not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, but then the Giant fans will say, yes, we are. Did you see how we beat the Eagles and the Chargers?
Yeah.
And we're going to crush the Denver Broncos, and y'all are still going to lose because you suck.
Yeah.
So it's just easier to say, yeah, we do.
Yeah. I told him to do that with the Nets because that one you can't fight. So I just said, with the Nets, just say, yeah, of course we suck.
Wait, with the Jets you can?
Well, what do you mean? No, because the other team is also on a different level of sucking. Like, the Knicks are a title contender.
Oh,
I don't lie to him about that.
I hear you.
New York Knicks could legitimately have a parade in June. So for me to say talk trash back to the Knicks would
be
stupid.
The alternative in basketball is actually very viable. For
right. So, yeah, I tell him just live with the fact that we're terrible. I said with the Jets and the Giants, you can still fight by saying, well, you're not going to the playoffs either.
It's like, what do you say to a Yankee fan? You got eliminated too. I'm not arguing we're not worse, but I'm just saying for a nine-year-old, I think that's an easier retort.
No, no, no. You tell him it's very easy. I saw you picking the nose in the bathroom. Start a whole rumor about the kid in school. Let it lead to problems. That's the best way to get him
back. So change the subject.
Yeah.
Go the cooties route, for sure.
Best route. Let's go to Anthony in Summit, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Evan. So first of all, just because I'm also a fellow Mets, Jets, Nets fan, it's nice to hear all the things that you say. Didn't plan on saying, but it's nice to hear everything. So I've been a Jets fan my whole life. I'm 25 years old. I'm watching the Giants game on Thursday night against the Eagles. They're kicking their butt. Jackson Dart comes out of the game, you know, with that injury. He's out for 3 plays, and he comes back in. And to see from the Giants fans at MetLife Stadium the love, the admiration, the hope, the optimism that they have. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, my question is, in the 25 years that I've been alive, I'm not sure I've really seen anything like that from Jets fans at MetLife Stadium. And maybe I have, and I just don't remember it. Like, I remember watching the playoffs in 2009, 2010. I remember when they almost made the playoffs in 2016. I'm just, Evan, my question is, has Jets fans had anything like that in my lifetime?
And you mean a player, Anthony, right? I think you're talking about a player doing that to you.
Yeah, there is no player. I think in terms of raw excitement, the one that jumps out at me was closing down Giant Stadium by making the playoffs. I mean, that is the ultimate. By beating the Bengals on Sunday Night Football to secure a postseason spot, we closed down Giant Stadium in the most epic, exciting, walking through the concourse with this kind of this hope that I don't think we ever had. The other one, and this is, again, before our last caller's time because of his age, was the day the Jets won the AFC East in shocking fashion in 2002, which included the help of a Patriot-Dolphin game and then beating the Green Bay Packers to secure a home playoff game, to which then they infamously beat the Colts 41-0.
Yeah, but is he talking about a moment, a game, or is he talking about the feeling that Jackson Dart gives Giant fans?
Yeah, if it's a player, it's never happened. It doesn't exist. No. It's done. Like, well, there, it doesn't continue. Like, there. I mean, I know there was excitement about Mike White, and there was excitement about you know, Curtis was a tremendous player to watch. But in terms of like the franchise quarterback giving you that excitement level. No,
yeah,
what?
But it was like you on prom night. It lasted for 10 seconds. Aaron Rodgers ran out with the American flag. That was the excitement. It just lasted one drive. That was your franchise quarterback running out.
Well, that's why I didn't use that.
But we're saying for a player, it just didn't last long. I mean, Jackson Dart could retire tomorrow and go be an actor.
Right,
we don't know if it's going to last.
Before game one.
Yeah.
The hype up to game one, that was it.
But you know what the difference is?
It's not sustainable.
Well,
it wasn't sustainable.
But also, and again, it's up to how you want to phrase it from our last caller. There was no reason for us to be excited based on play. It was just a resume. Aaron Rodgers hadn't done anything. Like, Jackson Dart was doing stuff, and then there was the excitement. So, look, honestly, we've had no excitement. This is as Joe has said, a woebegone franchise. This is a franchise of dirt and just awfulness. But if you want me to find our happiest moments, closing down Giant Stadium and making the playoffs was electric. I was in the building that day. It was unbelievable. It was indescribable. The way they won the division in 2002 and then got a home playoff game, like, through the roof excitement. Since then, like, what do you I mean, what would you even put up there? Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall's connection in 2015?
Maybe. That's as close as you're going to get.
But you know what the problem is?
But you knew that was short-lived.
Tiki, you nailed it.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with 2015, which is the only... Someone just texted me, can you take me to the airport now? I don't even know who this person is. Is that like a new
spam? It's a
spam?
New spam thing, yes.
I got to look at the area code now.
It's new spam.
That's spam?
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to say?
That means your email was in a data leak or something. And so they get your phone number, and then they start hitting you up for different random stuff. Hey, can you talk now?
I looked up at the area code to see where this is from. It's from Miami-Dade County.
Oh, my God, maybe it's Jalen Waddle.
Yeah. Jalen Waddle just texted me, can you take me to the airport now?
Not really Jaden Waddle.
Not really.
Speculative.
Should I respond back to this person?
No.
Oh, I can't.
Delete it.
What if I say I'm too busy? How about I say something like really offensive, like, I'm too busy hooking up with your mom. Would that be wrong?
I think that would be a little harsh. I don't think that's the right reaction.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. Yeah, but to answer our last caller's question, I think that's part of the depressing part about being a Jet fan. We haven't had these moments of hope and excitement that, to Tommy's point, may go away. I mean, it's football. You never know.
I think the scariest part about Jackson Dart is not that he's going to forget how to play football. It's about staying on the field.
Yeah.
My biggest worry about Jackson Dart, and I didn't specifically say this when we were talking earlier about what they're going to do in their last 11 games and why I think they're going to go 3-8. A part of that is I fully expect he's going to miss some time. Mm. Like, I just don't know if he's going to stay on the field for 11 weeks. Let's go to Kevin in Manhattan. Hey, Kevin.
What's up?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love you guys. So, you know, Carlos Beltran is special advisor to the genius, David Stern.
Yes.
You know who who has that role for Cashman?
Who's that?
Domar Minaya. Oh, as a Mets fan, that's we can only hope that he takes over for Cashman.
I saw Omar at the game the other day.
I saw Omar at a bar in spring training this year. It's like we always run into Omar Minaya at random places.
Right.
Great scout, terrible GM. So the reason I'm calling is you guys are trying to shortchange Lugie.
What do you mean?
If
we give him his due.
You can't charge him for all 11 in his forecast because Russell Wilson started 3 games. So you can only charge him for 9.
Yeah, so
gotta be prorated, guys.
So to Kevin's point, when we asked all of us at the beginning of the year to make predictions about the Giants season, Tommy was the only one who said, I want to make 2, one with Jackson Dart and one with Russell Wilson. And the one with Jackson Dart was that if he started, they're an 11-16. So what Kevin is saying is we need to prorate 11-6 over an 11-game sample size to officially get Tommy's prediction. Now, the good news is I have a calculator. The bad news is I couldn't ask Tommy to do this. He wouldn't be able to figure it out.
That's correct.
How do you prorate 11-6 over 17 games to what that would be equivalent to over 11
okay,
games?
Okay, so do 11 divided by 17.
11 divided by 17.
And you get
14 games.
You get six. Hold on. You do 11 divided by 17.
Yes.
And you get 64.7%.
Okay.
Now multiply mm-hmm. by 11.
Okay. The answer is 7.1.
There you
so
go.
Tommy's prediction is 7-4.
Because
that
he predicted,
would be, yes.
He predicted 11 games out of 17 if Jackson Dart started the season. So 11 out of 17 is 64.7%, right? So now, the percentage of that Jackson Dart would have won is 64.7%. Now there is 11 games remaining, so you apply that percentage. I just excluded the first 2 wins of his season, but...
Yeah, that was my issue with it.
So we'll go back and do it over.
Yeah.
Do it over.
Oh, we have to do it again?
Do it
yes.
by 14 then.
You have to do it by 14.
64.7 times 14.
What's the path of least resistance here? Do I have to go 7-4?
You do it by, the easiest way to do it is do it by 14 and then you take away the 2-1 record.
Just include it because it already happened.
I give up. You figure it out.
I'll do it. 11 divided by 17 equals 64.7% times 14 is 9 wins.
No, so they got to go 9-2.
So 7. It was the same. 7 more wins.
Yeah, we got the same answer.
7 more wins.
Yeah, so 7.
7-4. All right, so there you go.
Doable. I'm live now.
Absolutely. So now you've made 3 predictions. He went from 4-7 to 9-2 to 7-4. Right.
And by the way, that should have made sense because 2 out of 3 wins is 66%.
Honestly, Tiki, I'm just trying to flex. I'm back to doing kindergartner's math homework, and I'm psyched. All right?
I'll tell you this, man. I try to help my 4th grader with math homework. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I messed up Brooklyn the other day.
We all do. And you know why?
Because I had no idea what they were asking for.
I didn't know either. And I kept saying in my head, I wouldn't say this out loud, why don't we just use a calculator?
Yeah.
But the teacher's like, you got to show your work. I'm like, show your work? We all have calculators now. Why
when are you ever not going to have a calculator in your life?
I know. I hate lying to my kids. I don't. Yeah. But Jet will always say, when am I going to need this in real life?
On.
And I'm like, well, you are, but you aren't. You are going to need to know math, but you are going to have a calculator.
What if you ended up like Tom Hanks in Castaway, stranded on a desert island, you have no calculator. Now you're trying to count days and food rations and all that. You still need, you never know in case of crisis without electronics, a way to do math starting from a younger age.
And that's what you're telling your daughter when she asks you that question?
I just thought of it on the fly, but it sounds right.
I just say, it's just teaching you problem solving. That's all math is.
That's true, too. It's making your brain work, right?
Yeah. I go with the whole, listen, sometimes life isn't fair, and you just have to do stuff you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like this morning, this was my youngest. This
like
was Spence.
Root for the Jets.
He was like, yeah. He's like, I don't want to go to school. And so you know what I said to him? I said, do you think I want to go to work? You think I want to talk to Tiki about the Giants and the Jets and the Yankees today?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah.
And he said, yeah. I was like, damn it. You're right. You may have had me on this one. We'll get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, we debut a brand new game. Which aged worse? Evan and Tiki here on the film. We'll get some baseball a little bit later on, including the future of Anthony Volpe, now that it's revealed he's having that surgery for the torn labrum. And Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone are going to meet the media tomorrow. But I mentioned I got like this weird spam email. Basically, someone just asking me, can you take me to the airport tomorrow? And Ryan in Flemington would like me to respond to that text message. What's up, Ryan?
Evan, please. I get these text messages all the time. I've never once responded to any of them because I'm paranoid. But I would, if you can respond to this and just let us know what happens.
I'm the guinea pig, is what you're saying.
Well, you threw it out there that you'd be willing to do it.
I know. Yeah. You almost did it.
Should I do it? Should I write back? I'm sleeping with your, you know, something offensive. I'm sleeping with your mother. I'm sleeping with your father. I'm hooking up with your wife. Like, should I just become, like, really mean-spirited? Obviously, I'm not doing any of that. I'm on the radio with you.
Just put it on. Put it as a cliffhanger. Say, I'm hooking up. Dot, dot, dot.
I'm hooking up. Oh, I'm going to track them.
And then see what they respond with. And like, what does that mean? And
be like, with your mom. Oh, okay. Gotcha. So I'm setting them up for a joke.
Exactly. They're setting you up for something.
All right, I'm responding.
You might as well set them up.
I'm hooking up right now, so I'm busy. Is that good?
That's a little too much.
That's too much?
Getting too wordy.
I know. Just
okay. I'm hooking up, dot, dot, dot.
I'm hooking up right now.
I'm dot, hooking dot, dot. Up right now, dot, dot, dot.
Or wait. Did you hit send?
I did not.
Or do you just simply say, sure, I'll pick you up under, and have him say, underwear? And then you just write, ha, with an exclamation point.
Or I could say, I'm going to meet these and have them say, these what? And I'll say, these nuts. You know, go all the way with it. You want me to do that one?
Yeah. I'll pick you up after I pick up Bofa.
I got to pick up Bofa first.
Okay, I have to pick up Bofa first. All right. I'll let you know how it goes. I'll let you know. I'm glad you guys are loving this. Hey, Tiki, you want to play a brand new game?
Sure,
let's do it. It's called Which Take Aged Worse. Are you ready?
Yep,
let's We've got three options for the Which Take Aged Worse game. Let's start off with the fine executive producer of this show, Tommy Lugauer.
The Yankees were the big brother. Now you're the little brother. That's right. The Mets are the big brother. And if you don't like it, do something about it.
That's aggressive, Tommy.
That's option number one.
Okay.
Option number two, I have to admit, is Evan Roberts.
The death of LOL Mets.
The death of LOL Mets. Okay.
Wait, I forgot what that was.
Why I said that?
Yeah, and I remember it, but I don't remember the circumstances.
Oh, I'll tell you if you're curious. It was the opening monologue after the Mets got Juan Soto, stole him away from the Yankees.
The death of LOL Mets.
All right, so we have Yanks are little brother, Mets are big brother. What you gonna do about it? We got death of LOL Mets. And our third competitor in the Which Take Age Worst game is the owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen.
I want to slay the negative, you know, Met fan perceptions. And we're on our way to doing that.
That's a tough one. Mm. So we've got Loogie with the big brother, Evan with the LOL, and Steve Cohen with you know, slaying the perceptions.
Which one is definitely an in the future?
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Wrong. I think all of them could be.
Well, they're all wrong.
They're wrong. They're all wrong right now.
Right.
But which one are going to persist longest into the future?
Oh, that's easy. Is that how you're going to grade it? It's up to you. Mm.
I think it's Steve Cohen.
Steve Cohen is the winner, according to Tiki.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sean Morash?
I actually think it's Evan. Because even when they put together a good roster and a good team, like they were in the playoff hunt till the end, it's still LOL Mets at every turn.
Yeah, but...
And it could be LOL Mets after playoff losses. Until they actually win a World Series, there's always going to be an angle.
I feel like the negative, What is it? What did Steve Cohen say?
Can you replay Steve again?
The negative something.
I think the Steve Cohen thing should actually be replayed every day on WFAN until something changes.
I want to slay the negative, you know, Met fan perceptions.
Right.
And we're on our way to doing that.
There it is. So the negative Met fan perception.
I want
to
slay.
This is why it won't happen.
Yeah.
Because, one, the Met fan gets so excited signing Juan Soto or whatever that they turn into jerks, Tommy. And then so even when they're good, the negative perception persists. And then once what happens like it did this year, where you just completely fall apart, it's the negative Met fan perception is no matter what you do, it's still there.
Yeah. Ryan fucking Helsley sucks.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Right.
I couldn't vote on this because I was obviously a participant, same with Tommy, but if I had to endorse somebody as the winner, it's Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
And that sucks because at least I'm just a dumbass fan and Tommy is whatever he is. Steve Cohen's the owner of the team. And he had that strongly, I'm going to slay. He even used the word slay.
Yeah.
I'm going to slay.
Like the kids say now.
Yeah.
Or actually, probably not even now anymore.
Yeah. It's like a generation.
That's old.
Right. And it was so wrong. So there you go. Would you say again, Sean? You said it was me.
I said it was you, but the more I listen to it, I actually think what you said and what Cohen said are basically the same thing in different forms.
Yeah, except I'm me and he's him.
No, I agree.
That's a good point. I think what you're saying is right.
Yeah,
it's just different variations. But you're right, because it's the owner, he has to get that.
I love how both of you just like toss Tommy to the side like it doesn't even count.
I love that you didn't pick mine, because that tells me that two Yankee fans think what I said could come to fruition.
I
just love the fact that you didn't pick it. I didn't take it as dismissive.
I think they didn't pick you because it was so stupid.
Oh, shut up. What's so stupid about it?
Because it was as if it was reality.
Right, exactly. What you said is just never even going to be a factor.
Like, mine and Steve's were like, oh, wow, maybe that's true. Mm-hmm. Yours, even in the height of the Mets' success, was like, what? Was he high?
Attendance is up. Ratings is up. Juan Soto is a Met. The Yankee fan is more worried about, you know, trolling a Blue Jay team that knocked you out, which is little brother behavior. But okay, that's fine. I think I have building blocks to being big brother here. Like I said, I gave you the battle. I'm not giving you the war yet.
Okay.
Right. I don't have the bandwidth to even argue with this. Because
you know I'm right, or I have potential to be right.
I think, unfortunately, you got eliminated from this competition because your opinion was so out there. I apologize, but at least you were in the competition. Let's go to Chris in Bayshore. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Good.
Hey, listen, I got a suggestion for Aaron Glenn. I think he needs to call his good friend Dan Campbell up and get a little advice on how to deal with the press. I think Campbell shows you could be a tough guy and you can get your message across and still make sense. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Dan answers the questions. He clearly gets annoyed by some of the things that are asked of him, especially a couple of years ago when they weren't fully good. But he would answer the question and he would explain it like, look, guys, here's what's going on. He would always give you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, look, here's what we're doing. And hey, this is what we're trying to do. Like he would make it familiar to you and try to like embrace you with it as opposed to putting up a wall and a facade. Now, part of that's because Detroit media is probably not as aggressive as New York media, but that still is not an excuse to be rude.
What I wonder about with Aaron, not that he's inherently a rude individual, but he is an in-your-face individual.
100%.
Guy played in the NFL, and he played cornerback in the NFL. So a part of me wonders, is that just genuinely him? He's a combative guy.
It might be.
And if that's the case, I'd hate to change that. So as much as a fan, I hate this because you're 0-6 and you're being a jerk to everybody.
But it's organic to him.
But if it is organic, it's tough to kill it. You know what I mean? Here's the concern Aaron Glenn is going to face. And Jets X Factor provided these stats because these are fascinating. And these are the numbers. I would love to ask AI, but AI is consistently wrong.
Very much
like,
so.
So for example, and I was going to send this to you, Sean, because we had a discussion off air about how never trust Google AI.
Sure.
So on the heels of Yamamoto pitching that complete game, the first thing I did was I Googled last postseason complete game. And it said Walker Buehler in 2021. And I'm like, that's not true. So I went to Walker Buehler. Of course it wasn't true. I don't think he ever went more than 7 innings in a playoff game. And so I'm like, okay.
How could it even come up with that?
I don't know.
Does it not understand what a complete game is?
I don't know.
And that's the problem because AI takes literal interpretations of words. And our English language is so bastardized
that it, he doesn't know what complete means.
Right, which is, and the reason I bring this up is
Sean and I,
Sean and I were talking off air because I was like, hey, can you do research on blah, blah, blah? And he said, oh, yeah, look. And I said, before he even answered, I said, was it Google AI?
It was.
I think so.
It was the Mendoza Waffle House nickname. No problem.
Oh, there you go. That's right. We talked about for the kid quarterback from Indiana, Fernando Mendoza.
Fernando Mendoza, yeah.
How his nickname is the Waffle House, which I later found out it's not his nickname. It's his receiver's nickname. And so I was saying to Sean, did you get it from Google AI? Because they're always wrong. Mm. And subsequently, yes.
And so now when you say that in context, the receivers are the Waffle House because they're always open?
Exactly.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Now, with Fernando Mendoza, it made no sense.
It may, and that's why you can never trust Google AI. So I was going to Google AI, like the history of coaches who start 0-6. And of course, it led me down a horrible path. But sometimes we're allowed to be lazy because Jets X Factor, which is one of my favorite accounts and websites to check, did the research themselves. And I'm going to trust them because they're always right. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Before Aaron Glenn, 17 coaches since 1980 have started 0-6 to begin their coaching careers.
Wow.
17. 13 of the 17, that's 76%, never led that franchise to the postseason. Here are the exceptions. Dan Campbell, which Aaron Glenn has brought up, and our last caller just brought up, Zach Taylor with the Bengals, Kyle Shanahan, and Jimmy Johnson. Now, those examples, I mean, Zach Taylor, I don't know, but those other examples are really good. But the vast majority of coaches that begin their careers 0-6, it doesn't go well.
Right. It just, that becomes who you are, unfortunately. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
And this is important because Aaron Glenn has mentioned numerous times when asked about his tough start, hey, I spoke to Parcells, who's had his rough beginnings. I spoke to Jimmy Johnson, who's on this list, Dan Campbell, all this. Yes, you can overcome 0-6. No one is denying that, but the vast majority don't.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the history you're facing. 76% of the time, when you begin your coaching career like this, you never sniff the postseason. And so, yeah, it's possible. It's like, can the Brewers come back from 0-2? Sure they can. It's unlikely. History tells you it's unlikely. You could tell me about the 96 Yankees all day. You could tell me about the 86 Mets all day. But the truth is, you are probably going to end up in the dustpan of history. Because what about all the other teams that lost the first two games at home? And guess what? They never did come back.
Yeah, right.
What about those teams?
Exactly. That's more likely to be your plight.
Mike is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Mike.
Evan Tiki, what's going on, boys? How we doing?
All's good, man.
What's up?
Listen, so I was actually at that game in 2002 when we had to win the game, you know, winning in for the playoffs.
Yes.
And it was phenomenal. I mean, we went in there thinking that I believe it was a 4:00 game and the Patriots and Dolphins were playing at 1:00. We needed the Patriots to beat the Dolphins. Bizarro world.
Yes.
And they ended up winning in overtime and the place went crazy. We killed the Packers. They pulled Favre. It was magical. And then ever since then, it's just been disappointment after disappointment. 09-10, you know, the Outlaws. That I just, as I was waiting, I heard you guys talk about AI. Can I read you a quick excerpt? Shout out to my Jets group chat that we put into ChatGPT. Why is the Jets so bad? And this is what it gave me at the end.
Go ahead.
Bear with me for 1 second.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The small signs of hope. Joe Douglas has improved drafting. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall. Robert Saleh has stabilized the locker room, and Aaron Rodgers, if healthy, could finally bring credibility. The core defense is elite. The issue now is offensive execution and consistency. And then this is the end. If you want, I can make a timeline graphic showing every Jets, quote, rebuild since 2000 and how each collapsed. It's painful but fascinating. Want me to make that? I just had to share that with you guys. Even ChatGPT knows we're a joke. Let's go Mets. Let's go Jets. That's all we have. God bless you, boys.
Right. Thank you.
That's funny. Would you like us to make you a graph of every time it collapsed?
I mean, it also was talking about last season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little outdated.
Very outdated.
It's outdated.
What the heck are we even talking about? Robert Saleh hasn't been here for a year.
You know, the thing about rebuilds is that when you go for it and you have some level of success and it doesn't work to the hope that you had of winning a championship, you understand why a rebuild is necessary. So I can give you examples with all the teams in this town. Like things that worked, he got there. Like the Rangers, right? Remember the Rangers? Had a decent run, never won a Stanley Cup. You understood when they said, hey, we're going to rebuild.
Sure.
The Knicks after the Melo era didn't go as well as you wanted, but you're like, all right, I understand we got to rebuild. Even my team after the Durant era certainly didn't go as far as you want, but you're like, I understand we gave it our shot. We have to rebuild.
Aren't you still in it?
No, they're in it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're in the midst of it. The Jets do rebuilds, and it never leads to anything. And then you're rebuilding again.
Well,
like you're rebuilding from the rebuild, from the rebuild, from the rebuild. Like, there was never a point of, all right, here's our shot. Like, their shot was Aaron Rodgers. They went 7-10.
Well, I think that was the problem. You're on this path, and you have a plan, and then you get off taking a shortcut, right? That's the whole cliche. The path to success would be a lot more crowded if so many people didn't get off looking for the shortcut. That's exactly what the Jets did. Joe Douglas was building a pretty deep team. Like we were lauding him on his drafting ability, even though the team wasn't winning. He screwed up the quarterback draft, obviously, with Zach Wilson. But everything else, it was kind of like, all right, I like these skill position players. I kind of like this defense that he's put together. You know what? Let's get off that path and go get Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but getting off that path, here's where I got to discuss with you, because it's actually very interesting. And you almost have to walk ourselves through this.
Yeah.
If they didn't do the quick fix of Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and they either stuck with Zach Wilson or drafted another young quarterback.
You fire your coach.
Or signed Derek Carr.
You fire your coach. But the talent is still the same.
Right, but the talent ended up flaming out too. It wasn't just the quarterback. Think about it. What happened to the elite defense? Did the defense get bad because they went after Aaron Rodgers?
No, because you lost your defensive coordinator, a la your head coach.
But that's the point. Like, the decision to go after Rodgers, we can go over a million times.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'll fight with anyone on is that led to this disaster.
Well, I also feel like...
because it really didn't. Did it?
I mean, think about... and I like Jeff Olbrich, but think about how obsessed... and unfortunately, we saw this, right? It was in the Hard Knocks. Or not? Was it Hard Knocks that they did? Which one did they do where we saw how they were... it was Hard Knocks,
preseason
right?
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, the preseason Hard Knocks. The defensive coordinator... pining and googly-eyeing all over the quarterback. And it's like, dude, what does that have to do with anything?
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with what you guys are tasked to do. Why are you trying to just take a break and just watch Aaron Rodgers do what he does? Worry about your business. And so Aaron Rodgers could have been really great for the Jets, but he distracted them from everything that they had been doing up until that point. And then once it went south, it all went south.
Right.
Because he gets hurt. Now, everybody was just looking at Aaron Rodgers. Oh, Aaron's going to save. Oh. And all of a sudden, you're just discouraged and down, and you suck offensively. You can't win. Got infighting starts, and now all of a sudden, people don't care anymore. Like that path, that plan just got so derailed because you got off looking for the shortcut on Aaron Rodgers. It could have worked.
Right.
But when it doesn't, it fails miserably.
And it fails.
It's like going off in the shortcut, and then you realize it's a cliff into an abyss.
Let's go to Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up, guys? I think the Yankees are going to need a shortstop for this season. I heard Andy Martino with B Team Sal earlier kind of referencing it.
Mm.
But from what I can gather, the average return time for somebody getting, for a position player getting labrum surgery is right around 10 months.
Yeah. Yeah. My son had this. He was playing football and he had this because he couldn't play baseball and it took him 10 months. I mean, it's a grind. And so I guess he'll be fine eventually, but next year, I'm not sure if that's a real viable option.
Recovery time for a torn labrum is 4 to 6 months, as you said.
Until to get strong again.
To get strong again. So for perspective, 4 months from now is February.
I don't think it's 4 months.
Well, I'm just telling you the right. 4 to 6 months. I'm just giving you the off the top. 4 to 6 months is February to April. And you're saying it's going to be longer.
I think it's going to be longer.
Now, let's have a longer discussion on this. When we come back, what is the deal with Anthony Volpe? Mm-hmm. What should the Yankees do at shortstop? We'll get to that coming up. Plus more of your calls on the Giants and the Jets and everything else at 888-808-1019.
It's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.